Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are looking at the divine nature of Christ, focusing on passages that show that Christ truly is the eternal God. And we have an interesting study this week, and one that I think is unfortunately often neglected, and looking at that person in the Old Testament called the angel of the Lord, because some interesting things happen when he shows up, as well as things which are said to him could only be applied to God himself. So as we look at this personage of the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord will clearly see that it is truly God. And most theologians and commentaries believe that it is Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, before he became man, showed up in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. And John chapter 1, verse 18 is important in light of this study, where it says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So it says that no person has ever seen God in all of his fullness, but when Jesus, who is the Son of God, came here, he declared him or explained to man who God is and what he was like. After all, Jesus did say in John chapter 14, "Have you seen me? You've seen the Father." But as we come to the Old Testament, before the Son came to the earth, a person shows up who's referred to as the angel of the Lord, which some people, unfortunately, as they read through the Old Testament, only view this person as a messenger or as an angel of God, but we'll see that he is much more than that. And the first reference of him found in the Old Testament is in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 7, where he appears to Hagar. And it reads this in verse 7, "Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the springs on the way to Shur." And he has this conversation with Hagar, and then Hagar describes this place in verse 13 this way, "Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her," and that term Lord there is the term Jehovah, "the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are the God who sees,' for she said, 'Have I also here seen him who sees me?'" So here she refers to the angel of the Lord and uses the term Jehovah to apply to him. And this is going to be consistent with many of the passages that we look at in reference to the angel of the Lord. So what I want you to understand, that the divine name Jehovah or Yahweh is applied to the angel of the Lord in many of these references. Then also the angel of the Lord shows up in Genesis chapter 18 in a conversation that he has with Abraham. And verse 18 says, "Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he went sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day." And here that is the term Jehovah. So Jehovah appeared. Remember, God appeared to Abraham here. "So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him." Now, unfortunately, some people have tried to say this is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is not accurate at all, because the Bible says that God is spirits. Here, it's the appearance of a men that showed up. So what we do have is the Lord appearing to him, the second person of the Trinity, who we refer to as the Son, or as to Jesus, before he is incarnate here. Now, we know this is the Lord, because in Abraham's conversation with him, he refers to this personage by the term Adonai, which is another Hebrew word that is translated God or Lord and is applied to God. It is true that the term Adonai can be applied to man in reverence to as a master or someone that is superior, but oftentimes the term Adonai is often applied to God. In the Old Testament, you have the term El, which is translated God, Elohim, which is also translated God, the term Jehovah or Yahweh, and the term Adonai. Those are all four different names applied to the true God. And in Genesis 18, Abraham refers to this personage as Adonai. But to make it clear, in verse 13, when the Lord starts speaking to him through this personage of the angel, it says this, "And the Lord said to Abraham," and that term, Lord, is Jehovah, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child, since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" And so here this angel, who is the angel of the Lord, is now referred to as the Lord, or as Jehovah. Also, the same thing is going to be seen in Genesis chapter 19, which describes the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah through the hands of the angel. This angel actually turns out to be the Lord, because in Genesis chapter 19, verse 24, another reference which is often overlooked in proving the deity of Christ, it says this, "Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens." So the Lord, Jehovah, rained fire and brimstone from the Lord out of heaven. So the Lord Jehovah was on earth as well as in heaven. The Son was on earth while the Father was still in heaven. And fire and brimstone came out of the heavens. And then also another place where the angel of the Lord shows up is in Genesis chapter 2, where Abraham is tested to offer up his son that he loves. And verse 1 and 2 read this way. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, but offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. But then as you read on in this story, very interesting, starting at verse 11 through 14, we see that the angel of the Lord once again is truly Jehovah, the true God. And verse 11 picks up where Abraham has a knife and is ready to offer his son as a sacrifice. Verse 11 reads, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And so here it is God who tested him in verse 1, but in verse 11 and 12, the angel of the Lord says, you have not held your son from me. Verse 13 and 14 go on to read, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And that term Lord there in verse 14 is once again the term Jehovah. So Abraham called this place Jehovah Jireh, or the Lord will provide. But we see it's the interaction that he has with the angel of the Lord who says, you have not withheld your son from me, but it was yet God who is the one that tested him. Then Abraham said that God is the one that provides. Then also reading on in Genesis 22, it becomes even clearer. In verse 15 and 16, it reads this way. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now, this brings us back to other promises starting in Genesis chapter 12, where it was the Lord, Jehovah, that made this promise. But yet here in verse 16, the angel of the Lord says, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. So we see that this angel of the Lord, who men were able to see, is actually God, the Lord. Yet, at the same time, John chapter 1 tells us that no man has seen God at any time. The only way to harmonize these passages is to realize that this is Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, that's being manifested here as the angel of the Lord. Another place the angel of the Lord shows up is in Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 32. And this is where Jacob wrestles with this angel all night long, but yet at the end of this wrestling, in verse 30 it reads, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So Jacob saw this wrestling as seeing God face to face. Now in Genesis chapter 32, it doesn't refer to him as the angel of the Lord, but as we put the scriptures together, we could see that this is actually the same personage again. Also, we have an interesting commentary in Hosea chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, in Jacob's wrestling with this individual. It reads this way, yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. That is the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. So here it refers to this personage that he wrestled with as the Lord God of hosts. Once again, that must be Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. Another interesting place that the angel of the Lord shows up, and this is one that is often overlooked and one that clearly proves that the angel of the Lord is God. In Exodus chapter 3, where God reveals his name to Moses, it starts out in verse 2, which reads this way, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. So here it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of the fire from the midst of the bush. But in verse 14, he reveals himself as being the true God. This is where God responds to Moses, and the passage is clear. It says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And this is the angel of the Lord's voice coming out of the bush, which is referred to as God, as the great I am. This is also clearly supported in Acts chapter 7 and verse 30 and following, which reads, and when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. So here we see that the New Testament confirms as well that this angel of the Lord is also Jehovah God. And again, as we go back to that first passage we looked at in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. We have to explain how these individuals saw God. They even said, I saw him face to face. And in our next study, we'll look at some other references which declare the same thing about the angel of the Lord. Thus, we can logically conclude that the angel of the Lord is God, but he's the second person of the Trinity manifesting himself to individuals in bringing revelation from God concerning his purposes and his plans. Thus, we see that Jesus Christ is truly the eternal God. I'd really encourage you to study about the angel of the Lord, because it becomes crystal clear as you look at these references that this being truly is God.